Incumbent had won the UEFA Champions League titles in May 1998 and May 2000. At the time Florentino was elected, however, Real Madrid was close to bankruptcy. In the media, Florentino was most associated with lifting the debt-laden club to their current position as the most valuable sports team in the world and ushering in the period during which Real Madrid signed the best of the best players from around the globe. The term Galacticos, a galaxy of stars, has been used in the media to describe Florentino's signing of star players and also as a nickname for the team. After the club members elected Florentino to be president of Real Madrid in 2000, he asked Carlos to take the executive role of director general and focus on selecting day-to-day activities, in particular administration, finance, and legal. The fact that Carlos was neither a soccer aficionado nor a Real Madrid fan was precisely why Florentino wanted Carlos to join the executive team. Florentino wanted someone who wouldn't be swayed by biases or swept up in the glamour or intimidated by the star power of the players. He wanted someone he knew and could trust to apply and execute their knowledge of what was needed to successfully run a global corporation. Carlos has a son, Lorenzo, who, like me, had worked at Goldman Sachs. By coincidence, not knowing that his father and I would one day meet, Lorenzo had given Carlos a copy of my book, What Happened to Goldman Sachs, an insider story of organizational drift and its unintended consequences. Brighton, Harvard Business Review Press, 2013, which was my dissertation for my PhD in sociology from Columbia University. Its focus is on organizational culture. During our meeting, when Carlos said he had enjoyed reading my book, I thought he was merely being polite. Then he walked across his office and pulled it off his bookshelf. When he opened the book, I could see pages he had marked and sentences he had underlined. I was stunned. Not only had he read my book, I now had a sense of how meticulous and curious he was. As I got to know Carlos better, my inquisitiveness and fascination remained unabated. The more I learned, the more I wanted to know. During another visit to Madrid and lunch at El Landó, I told Carlos that I wanted to do a rigorous study of Real Madrid, taking an analytical and dispassionate approach similar to the one I used in researching and analyzing Goldman Sachs. Unlike any other book written about a sports team, I wanted to investigate both the on-field and business aspects of the club and see if and how the two were linked. One of the things in the back of my mind was Michael Lewis's best-selling 2003 book, Moneyball, The Art of Winning an Unfair Game, New York, W.W. Norton & Company, 2004, about the Oakland Athletics baseball team and its general manager, Billy Bean. The book describes how Bean, a former professional baseball player, uses an unconventional, analytical, evidence-based, sabermetric approach to assemble a competitive baseball team, despite the Athletics' disadvantaged revenue situation compared to large market teams like the New York Yankees. Lewis's book, which is one of my favorites, captures the moment when baseball changed its player selection strategy from a reliance on instinct to data analysis of past performance, a shift that revolutionized baseball and sports management. The enormous popularity of the book and then the 2011 film Moneyball, starring Brad Pitt and Jonah Hill, solidified the power of data-driven decision-making in the minds of the general public and corporate management teams around the world. While the power of data analysis is undeniable, I was interested in what and how large a role it played in the overall success of Real Madrid. Carlos described to me an equally dramatic shift in Real Madrid's business model, but one that was utterly unlike Bean's. Instead of being driven by data analytics, the Real Madrid revolution stemmed from an organizational culture centered on the shared values and expectations of the club's fans. Also, while Bean was a baseball insider, Real Madrid's revolution was being led largely by a bunch of outsiders. One of the things they had in common, however, was that both innovations were driven out of financial necessity and constraint. I was fascinated by the potential the Real Madrid way has beyond the sporting world. Potential that I felt the need to explore and identify. Big money and glamorous stars tended to camouflage what the executives were really doing, and what they were doing can be appreciated far beyond the realm of soccer or Real Madrid. Real Madrid provided me with unprecedented access, both to people and to data. Over 2 years, I conducted more than 100 hours of semi-structured interviews with more than 20 people associated with Real Madrid, from the president of the